Our scripture lesson this morning comes from a few different places, beginning with Jeremiah, 1 John, and with Matthew. In 1 John, we read, "We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in God, in His love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them." And in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And from Matthew, the 28th chapter, "And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Rod and I just returned home this past Monday from 10 days of visiting family and friends. We began our trip with a visit to Atlanta, Georgia, to spend a few days with my aunt and uncle. After that, we spent a few days in Simpsonville, South Carolina, visiting my best friend. And then we headed to Lancaster, Pennsylvania, a big, nice big loop of driving to visit my sister and her family. And while we were in Lancaster, I received a voicemail message from Pastor Joe asking me if I could bring the sermon this morning. Well, my first thought was, no, I can't do that, and I'm on vacation. My second thought was, okay, God, here we go again. Why are you calling me out of my comfort zone? Another step. But my third thought was about the timing. Because if this was during the school year, I wouldn't have had the time to prepare a message this week. But it's still summer break for almost 2 weeks. And so after spending some time in prayer with God, and God laid the hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul," on my heart, I texted Pastor Joe back and said, yes. So this hymn, which has been a favorite of mine for many, many years, offers us some great reminders that we will look at today. Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O God, and may we hear with joy what you say to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today we're continuing our series on the classic hymns of our faith, and today's hymn is "It Is Well With My Soul." In 1873, Horatio Spafford wrote the words to "It Is Well With My Soul." These words were written after a number of tragedies in his life. Let's take a few minutes today to look at his story. Horatio Spafford was a hardworking and successful attorney and law firm partner who lived in Chicago. He was also a true family man, a devoted husband and father, and was a leader in his local Presbyterian church and supported the ministry of Dwight L. Moody, all while living out his faith, using his gifts and talents to help those who were less fortunate. But yet he was also very familiar with suffering and with the unfairness of life. In 1870, their 4-year-old son and his namesake died of scarlet fever. And in 1871, while still dealing with this grief, the Great Chicago Fire occurred. Now, Spafford had invested heavily into real estate, and he lost a fortune in the fire. But in spite of his grief, which was complicated by these great financial losses, he poured himself into helping to rebuild the city that he loved, doing all that he could to help the 100,000 people who were left homeless by the fire. Well, 2 years later, in November of 1873, things were looking much better for Spafford and for the city of Chicago. So he decided it was time to move forward from this sad chapter in their life and to take his wife Anna and their 4 daughters on a trip to Europe. They also decided during this trip that they would spend part of the time in England, where their friend Dwight L. Moody would be preaching during a revival. So they were all packed, ready to go, ready to leave on this great adventure, when, of course, a last-minute business matter caused Horatio to be delayed. So rather than making his whole family wait on him, he sent them on ahead, sailing across the Atlantic Ocean on the Ville du Havre, and he would rejoin them in a couple of weeks. Well, in his book, Then Sings My Soul, Robert Morgan then describes what happened next. And I'll just do a little preface to say, this story is kind of, as I told Mark, is a little eerily timely this week, and you'll understand. But during the small hours of November 22nd, 1873, as the Ville du Havre glided across the smooth seas of the Atlantic Ocean, the passengers were jolted from their bunks. Their ship had collided with an iron sailing vessel, and water poured in like Niagara. The Ville du Havre tilted dangerously. Screams, prayers, and oaths merged into the nightmare of unmeasured terror, and passengers clung to posts, but then tumbled through darkness and were swept away by powerful currents of icy ocean. Loved ones fell from each other's grasp and disappeared into the foaming blackness. Within 2 hours, the entire ship vanished beneath the waters. There were 226 fatalities, including all four of the Spafford's daughters, Maggie, Tanetta, Annie, and Bessie. Mrs. Anna Spafford was found nearly unconscious, clinging to a piece of wreckage. And when the 47 survivors landed in Cardiff, Wales, she cabled her husband. The cablegram began, "Saved alone, what shall I do?" Well, Horatio Spafford immediately booked passage to join his wife. En route on a cold December night, the captain of his ship called him aside and said, "I believe we are now passing over the place where the Ville du Havre went down." Spafford stood silently at the rails for a long time and then went to his cabin, but found it hard to sleep. He said to himself, "It is well. The will of God be done." And he later wrote his famous hymn based on these words. In his immense grief, Horatio Spafford relied on his faith and found strength from God as he wrote the words to "It Is Well With My Soul." As a grieving father, he wrote this hymn, which begins with this first verse: "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my loss, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." God promises us that it can be well with our soul when we trust him, just as Horatio Spafford did. And today I'd like to share three ways that I believe it is well with our soul. The first way that it is well with our soul is because God loves us. In 1 John 4:16, which I read a few minutes ago, it says, "We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in God live in love, and God lives in them." In 1 John, the third chapter, we're also reminded of another amazing promise from God. "See how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are." God loves us more than we can imagine. He created us, and he knows each of us by name. I like the way Reverend Rick Warren reminds us. He says, "God is love. He didn't need us, but he wanted us, and that is the most amazing thing. Out of his love, God created us and loves us. And with God's amazing love and strength, we can face any storm that life throws at us, and we can come out stronger on the other side." The second way is that it is well with our soul because God has a perfect plan for us. In Jeremiah 29:11, we read this incredible promise from God. "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." God has created each one of us for a special purpose. He's given each of us gifts and talents. Now, we're not all hymn writers like Horatio Spafford, but each of us, in our own way, can share the story of God's love with others. God has given us each work to do, but we don't do it alone. In Philippians 1:6, the Apostle Paul reminds us, "And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." Our hope and our future begin and prosper in God. The last couple of years have been a strong reminder of me that God does have a perfect plan for each one of us. Some of you have heard this story before, and for those who haven't, here's the short version. I had been serving full-time as the associate pastor at the Promise United Methodist Church for 15 years. Then in August of 2016, God told me he was calling me to do something new and different, but that he wasn't going to tell me what it was yet, which for a planner and doer is a big step of faith. During this 9-month transition period, God brought Rod and I here to Lawrence United Methodist Church, where we first enjoyed worshiping as a part of this wonderful congregation, before Pastor Joe invited me to help lead worship each Sunday. During this transition time, I was also doing some freelance work as a piano accompanist with soloists and choirs in several different settings. As I look back on this transition time, I see that God was using it to prepare me for my two new ministry settings. One, serving as the full-time piano accompanist for the choirs at Decatur Central High School, and number two, also as a very part-time associate pastor here at Lawrence United Methodist Church. God also gave me a very special confirmation of this plan that he had for me in January of 2017. I was talking with my mom one day about a very special experience that I had had that previous weekend of accompanying a high school student in a concerto contest. I was sharing with my mom about some very kind and affirming words that the student's mother had shared with me. My mom said, just the night before that, that she and God had been talking about my time of transition and his plan for me. And my mom shared with me that God told her that my new ministry setting would involve accompanying. Well, less than 4 months later, I accepted the position at Decatur Central High School. I think often of this conversation with my mom, and I thank God for his reassurance during that transition time and for the perfect plan that he has for my life. The third way that it is well with our soul is because Jesus promises us that he will never leave us or abandon us. After his resurrection, Jesus made this promise in Matthew 28, "And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." In this Bible verse, Jesus is not just telling the disciples that he will be with them through their life only. He's promising all of us that he is and will be with us until the end of the age. And in Hebrews 13, 5, and 6, we're also reminded of Jesus' promise to always be with us. It says, "After all, he has said, I will never leave you or abandon you." This is why we can confidently say, "The Lord is my helper, and I won't be afraid." I read a story this week where Reverend Charles Spurgeon was talking about this, the original Greek translation of these verses in Hebrews 13. Reverend Spurgeon explained that our English translation does not convey the whole force of the original Greek. In the original Greek translation, Jesus said, "I will never, never leave you. I will never, never, never forsake thee." Now, in English, we're taught that two negatives cancel each other out, right? But in Greek, multiple negatives actually intensify the meaning of what is said. So when Jesus says, "I will never, never, never forsake thee," he's saying it almost as strongly as he can. He is strongly reminding us that he will never, ever leave us. And no matter what we face, God is with us. We're not alone, and we will never be alone. And I don't know about you, but I am so thankful for that promise each and every day. As we look at it being well with my soul, there's been a lot of conversation of that. It goes back in our Methodist history. In fact, John Wesley, who was the founder of Methodism, understood the importance of things being well with our soul. In England in the 1700s, Methodism began with a specific type of small group gathering that was called a class meeting. These class meetings became central to what it meant to be Methodist. And attending class meetings was mandatory. It wasn't, oh, if I feel like it, or I don't have a better offer from a friend to go for dinner. Class meetings were a mandatory part of being Methodist. And the structure of the meetings was very simple. There were about a dozen people in each group, and they would meet weekly to take turns answering one simple question. The question was, how is it with your soul? As you can imagine, conversations around just that one question can go pretty powerful. And when we take time in our own lives and with our loved ones and friends to enter into these conversations regularly, our lives are changed and others' lives are changed. And that's why we see a lot of churches that are bringing this type of class meeting back, because we're reminded to look within. How is it with our soul? It's not just that when we walk up to church, good morning, how are you? I'm good, thanks. But it's that deeper, how is it with our soul? Well, through Christ Jesus, I can truly say it is well with my soul. How is it with your soul? I pray that Christ brings you the peace and love, his peace and love, so that you can truly say, it is well with your soul. Amen. Amen.